Welcome to the FOI Equip Podcast, your free resource for learning and engaging with the scriptures from a Jewish perspective. Hi, everybody. I'm Chris Katulka. You know, the scriptures tell the story of God's chosen people and his plan to bring salvation to the whole world through Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. Come see why it matters that God would choose an ancient people to bring a timeless hope to a lost and broken world. Now listen, I want to encourage you to go to foiequip.org to sign up to be on our mailing list. You're going to receive vital information on how you can join our free live online FOI Equip classes. Now get ready. Join our expert staff on the FOI Equip podcast as we teach the scriptures, unravel the colorful world of Jewish culture and customs, reveal God's prophetic plan, and so much more. Now enjoy this teaching from FOI Equip.
Okay, so the question that is asked here is, does Israel control the media? I think we all probably already know the answer to that. I'm subtitling my presentation, and I will come back to this at the end, of it's caused the wind to return and the rain to fall. I'll mention why in a little bit. But as you know, how was it possible for Israel to control the media? And you hear this all the time. Jewish people influence the news to make Israel look like the victim. But my question is, does Israel look like the victim? No, of course not. In fact, Israel doesn't look like the victim. Israel looks like the victimizer. So that must mean that Jews are stupid and incompetent, because if they control the media, they are messing up big time. And they must be the worst media controllers and also the worst genociders in history, because the genocide that Israel is supposedly perpetrating is, you know, seeing a huge growth in the Palestinian Arab population. So it's very hard to understand how they're committing genocide. So they're just idiots. I guess we Jews are complete idiots. So therefore, I think we can assume that Israel is not controlling the media. In fact, Israel, it's exactly the opposite. Israel is the target of the media. And the first way that you can see the media bias against Israel is with the just huge amount of over coverage of Israel in the media. Israel is constantly on the front page, even before the war. In fact, if an alien landed on Earth and read the newspaper and watched TV and got all their information from the media, they would think that Israel was the biggest country with billions of inhabitants, because it's just so much in the news. Of course, it's not true. In fact, you should ask some of your friends. I mean, you may know how many Jews there are on Earth and how many people live in Israel and how large it is. But go ahead and ask your friends, and you'll be surprised at some of the answers that you get, because it's actually, you know, very far from that. So that's the first thing. There's that expression, if it bleeds, it leads. There's another expression, if it's Jews, it's news. So the huge amount of overcoverage. But once you get into the actual stories, not the number of stories, but the stories themselves, there is media bias in the stories. And that manifests itself in a number of ways. The first way that you can detect media bias, but it's difficult, is factual errors. There's a lack of balance, omission of important facts and context, double standards, and editorializing in a news story. You're going to get all these slides in the end. They'll be sent to you, so you don't have to take notes. But the factual errors are difficult. They're very difficult to detect, because if you don't know yourself the facts, then whatever you read, you just assume is true. So you have to be really educated. And all along, while I'm going through the presentation, I'm sure that you know a lot about Israel, but put yourself in the position of somebody else who doesn't know that much and doesn't care that much about Israel. And imagine them getting all their information from the media. So when they read a story, they for sure will not be able to detect the factual errors because you have to follow breaking events closely. You have to know your history, both modern and ancient. You have to keep up with the many related subjects, like what's going on in Yemen, for example. And again, please go to our website, camera.org. There's a lot of information there. Here is some of the very recent coverage where we at Camera got corrections, and we get many, 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 many corrections. But as people often tell me, you know, the lie is on page one, but the correction is like at the bottom of page nine in very small type. And that is true. But the corrections are also made online. And that's very important because that's the final piece that stays on forever. But for example, the New York Times, if you look, it says big bombs in urban areas raise civilian toll in Gaza. Israel has killed more women and children than have been killed in Ukraine. Not true. And then NPR, in an interview, was saying that Israel had not reopened the Kerem Shalom crossing to bring in humanitarian aid. But that, of course, was not at all true. Israel indeed had opened at that time the Kerem Shalom crossing. People wouldn't know and would think somehow that Israel was trying to keep aid from the non-combatants. A lack of balance is focusing only on one side's point of view and not giving any response or giving a preponderance of space or airtime to one point of view and not the other. Also, you'll see in some of the press where one side will be quoted directly and then the other side's just paraphrased. So look for the words Israel says or Israeli leaders say or Israeli spokesman said. Just be on the lookout for that as you read the media. In fact, the View had Cynthia Nixon on, the star of Sex and the City, and she said on The View, in the last very short 8 weeks, this was a while ago now, about a month ago, we've seen the deaths of over 16,000 civilians, Palestinians in Gaza, which include over 7,000 children. And to put that in some kind of a context, that's more civilians that were killed by the U.S. and its allies in almost 20 years of war in Afghanistan. Completely untrue. And she promoted this blatant falsehood. And of course, the ladies of The View, they didn't know. So, and there wasn't anybody else on. So instead of having her come on and talk about Sex and the City or whatever that show is or whatever else she's doing, she gets on and starts talking about something she doesn't know anything about. And they're not prepared or not interested in putting the other side on. And that, of course, is a problem. And here you have Reuters, where, again, here you go with Israel said, Israel's offensive after the October 7th, which, of course, is not an offensive, right? It's a response. Israel said that they killed 1,200. Israel said. But meanwhile, since the war began, close to 19,000 people have been killed in Gaza. According to who? According to Hamas. So there's your bias right there. Very subtle, very, very subtle. Israel says, and that puts an immediate distance between the reader and Israel. Israel's now a step away. Israel says, well, they said that, but is it true? But here, 19,000 people have been killed in Gaza. So there you go. Omissions of important facts and context. So this is very important because sometimes you can tell an absolutely correct set of facts, but all told, they tell a completely wrong story. So, for example, when I came and spoke at Friends of Israel in New Jersey, I could have said, there could have been a story, for example, Sarit Katz was driving to Friends of Israel, drove up on the sidewalk, plowed into a group of pedestrians, and seven people were killed. Now, that set of facts makes me sound like a car ramming terrorist, like the kind that just attacked in Ra'anana 2 days ago here in Israel. But if I included some omitted facts, like Sarit Katz was driving to Friends of Israel, had a heart attack, lost control of her car, drove up on the sidewalk, plowed into a group of pedestrians, and seven people were killed. It's the same story, but it's a totally different story. The first version contained all correct and true facts on which we could not get a correction. But it's a totally different story than the second story, which is a tragic accident, not a car ramming terrorist. So again, a person's understanding would be completely different. And here are some of the important facts and context that you don't hear about. The atrocities of October 7th would be missing in many of the stories in the press today. Previous offers of statehood and the Gaza disengagement of 2005. The fact that Egypt controls a border with Gaza, not just Israel, that thousands of rockets and missiles are coming in still now from Gaza and Lebanon, that the Palestinian media and education incites hatred of Jews and Israel, that the human rights organizations and the media are infiltrated by Hamas. And this is very important. What you hear coming out of Reuters and AP and their reporters in Gaza, they are really Hamas information operatives. And the same is true about the ICRC, the International Committee of the Red Cross, and UNRWA that operate in Gaza. Those people who work there are local staffers, and they are Hamas operatives. And there are many, many more important facts that are often omitted. Here's one. According to Reuters, in Tulkarm in Judea and Samaria, five Palestinians were killed by Israeli forces. Now, these are two pictures of the five. The five who were killed were all operatives of Palestinian Islam Jihad and Hamas. Even in Judea and Samaria, Hamas isn't just in Gaza. They're also in Judea and Samaria. As you can see, these innocent civilians are carrying weapons because they are proud terrorists, and the terrorist organization claimed them. But that's not in the headline, is it? It's not in the story. That's a little bit of an important fact that was omitted. Now, the double standards, where one group is singled out for more criticism than the other, or different terms are used to describe the same phenomenon. So perpetrators of the 9/11 terrorist attack were called terrorists, but perpetrators of atrocities against Israelis are called militants. And you will see this all the time. And I'm old enough to remember when somebody was called a militant, that meant they were very, very, very committed to a cause. And in fact, I think that may even still be the definition. So somebody might be a militant vegetarian, for example. But if you ate a hamburger in front of them, they probably wouldn't kill you. That's the difference between a terrorist and a militant. And here you go with the AP. This is the AP's actual style book. And this is what they say. And so they don't want to describe Hamas as terrorists. So they want to call them militants. And they use terms such as Hamas fighters, attackers, or combatants are also acceptable, depending on, and here's the word everybody loves these days, context. Do not use the term Hamas soldiers. All right. And of course, the Israeli army has soldiers. But you can't use they use the word militants, but not the word terrorists. Where is that? Editorializing is, of course, okay on the opinion page. and in the editorials, but not okay in the actual news stories. But the way that it's done is they use emotional buzzwords and loaded terms. So, for example, occupied Palestinian land. I know I don't have to tell you there never was a Palestine, so there can't be Palestinian land. And it's not occupied, it's disputed. Or illegal Jewish settlements, like the eastern part of Jerusalem. And speaking of that, the words Arab East Jerusalem. Now, I know that all of you know that Jerusalem is close to 4,000 years old, and in all its history, it's only been divided for 19 years between 1949 and 1967. So why that needs to be East Jerusalem and West Jerusalem doesn't make any sense. And in fact, it's not Arab. The part that's in very important things are in the eastern part of Jerusalem. And the eastern part of Jerusalem contained the Jewish quarter. It contains the Temple Mount. It contains the Western Wall, which are Jewish holy sites. And this is something that is absolutely not Arab. And of course, many, obviously, the Christian holy sites as well. But of course, there are Christian Arabs too, but it's definitely not Arab East Jerusalem. And in fact, isn't East Jerusalem. The word Jerusalem, many people think it comes from the word shalom, Yerushalayim shalom, from the word peace, but it actually comes from the word shalem, which means whole or complete. So it's really offensive, in my opinion, to talk about East Jerusalem and West Jerusalem when the city itself is a whole. And wholeness and completeness are very important concepts in Judaism. Here you have the New York Times, actually, if you can see in the red circle, calling the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces, the Israeli occupation forces. Now, again, this is not in editorial. This is a news story using loaded terms like that. When you are monitoring the media, it's very difficult. So you have to really keep your eyes open and analyze the headlines, the photographs, keep track of the opinion pages as well, the articles, as we've just discussed, and see if there are individual stories or if these are happening with long-term trends. These are important, and I'm just going to go through them one at a time. But if you want to monitor the media, you have to do all of these things. So you have to analyze the headlines. I want to talk about headlines because think about for a minute the way that you read a newspaper. Even if you're reading online or on your iPad, the first thing you see is the headline. And that makes you decide whether or not you're actually going to read the whole story. Most people, remember, don't know or care as much about Israel as you do. So they see a headline and they don't read the story. That means they get 100% of their information about the story from the headline. Just that's all they saw. That's 100%. That's why the headlines are so important. So here are some headlines. The New York Times wrote how posters of kidnapped Israelis ignited a firestorm on American sidewalks. So all of those protests, those demonstrations, those people who are all masked up, covering up their identities and tearing down American flags and maybe Canadian flags, certainly I know tearing down British flags and putting up Palestinian flags and graffiti and all kinds of other things, that was all incited and ignited by people who put up posters of kidnapped babies and Holocaust survivors. They're the bad guys. CNN had a headline, "Doctors accuse Israeli troops of desecrating bodies and shooting civilians at a hospital that Israel says was a Hamas command center. Now, remember what I said. The doctors and these humanitarian aid workers are Hamas operatives. So that's one. That's an omitted fact. And Israel says it was a Hamas command center. Of course, it was a Hamas command center, Israel. But also, these Hamas information operatives put out a statement saying Israeli troops desecrated these bodies, which never happened. But that's what somebody saw who got 100% of their information from the headline. And I'm sure also from the story, but that's even a separate thing. And here, Israel, from the Washington Post, Israel increases strikes in central Gaza, killing scores. Guys, Israel's just wantonly killing people, not killing scores of terrorists, all right, not even killing terrorists. And no, of course, no mention of why they're doing it. 100% of the information from the headline. That's why you have to look at the headlines. Now at the photographs. Many people, you may be getting your news from credible media sources. And again, I have to put credible in quotation marks, but many people get their news from social media. And social media relies very heavily on photographs. And here is one that was circulating on Twitter of this beautiful little girl. And of course, talking about how this little girl, Malek, was killed by an Israeli airstrike in Gaza. The truth is, this photograph was stolen from an Instagram post of a little girl named Sophie in Russia and had been posted 2 years ago by her mother. And she apparently, according to her mother's Instagram account, isn't going to the zoo and living her best life, even though it's in Russia. But nonetheless, this is not Malek, and she was not killed, and she's not Palestinian. So there are a lot of these fake photographs that have been pulled off the internet and reposted. So a lot of what you see on social media is just complete fake. But even in the media, you'll see photographs that are very sympathetic and show children in Gaza and Palestinian Arab children. But when you show Israelis, they will either show soldiers or ultra-Orthodox. And it's not a coincidence, because polling shows that folks in North America particularly don't like religious fundamentalism, sorry, or militarism. And so they show these, what other people think are negative portrayals of Israelis as being very religious or being soldiers. Now, personally, I don't agree with either of those, but I love especially to look at pictures of Israeli soldiers. All the women are beautiful. All the men are beautiful. But that's why they show them. And after a terrorist attack, look at the photograph. Will they show the victim, or will they show the family of the terrorist? And I'm sure you can guess which they show. These are the kinds of photograph bias that you'll see. And sometimes you'll see photographs that aren't even related to the story, and that's part of it too. Here are some totally staged photographs. One on the top here is from CNN. This is the rubble, supposedly, in Gaza. And yet, there's this perfectly clean teddy bear. Here, you have a blown-out building in the Boston Globe. And yet, there's a little girl, as if somebody lives in this apartment, right? Of course not. And yet, here she is with her perfectly white leggings, holding her big stuffed animal. And here Haaretz has another one of these teddy bears. You'll see tons of stuffed animals in these pictures. They're all completely staged. I mean, why is the teddy bear on top of the rubble? You'll sometimes see a crib, or you'll see a high chair just sitting there on top of the rubble. These pictures are all completely staged. They're taken by photographers, again, who are Hamas information operatives. And here you have a story on NPR, which says a weekend of combat in Gaza kills 14 Israeli soldiers in a sign of Hamas entrenchment. So that's the story about Israeli soldiers being killed. But the photograph that they show with it is Palestinians mourn relatives killed in the Israeli bombardment of the Gaza Strip outside a morgue in Khan Yunis. So the photograph doesn't even have anything to do with the story. And of course, it shows only that the Israelis are the killers and the aggressors, not any of the humanity. It's not as if there weren't 14 Israeli funerals that there are pictures from that they could have run, but they didn't. Now, the other reason that that photographs are so important is because if you go beyond the headline, you'll then look at the photograph and you'll read the photograph caption. And that might be all your information. So here you have the killers and the terrorists are humanized, but the Israeli soldiers, you never see their pictures. You never see their mothers crying and breaking down on their caskets. In the op-eds, you have to check to see if there are a balance of op-eds. Now, you're allowed to have opinion in the opinion pages. You're not allowed to make up your own facts, so they can't contain outright errors or fabrications, but there are allowed to be opinions. However, you should have a balance over time of opinions. But in the Los Angeles Times, it's basically one after the other after the other. So these are both headlines from the LA Times, but this is only two of a long string of anti-Israel op-eds. Killing in Gaza must stop, with nearly 70 journalists killed, who'll be left? I mean, it's just one after the other after the other. But you have to see that this is not just in the news media, and I mentioned The View before, but here you have Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, and he did in, about 2 months ago, he has a 30-minute show. He did a 28-minute rant calling for a ceasefire and criticizing Israel. This is an entertainment show. Thankfully, I mean, nobody watches the Emmys anymore, but typically he wins the Emmy year after year. Luckily, 2 days ago or whenever they gave out the Emmys, he didn't win, but this is why, because a 28-minute rant. Now, Harvey Levin from TMZ is coming out and being, very forthright in his support of Israel. And so this comedian, John Oliver, is criticizing this entertainment reporter, Harvey Levin, and says there are those like Mideast peace expert Harvey Levin, like sarcastically calling him a Mideast peace expert, who will say, and not wrongly, that there are real dangers to a ceasefire, that Hamas might regroup once the bombing stops. Although that's arguably going to be the danger whenever it stops. So why not stop right now? Like, why not? Why dismantle Hamas? Why finish the job? Why not just stop and leave them in place? Now, it's hilarious that comedian is criticizing somebody else for not being a Mideast peace expert, when obviously he himself is not a Mideast peace expert. So with all the way that the coverage is biased against Israel, you would want to think that, it's showing constantly that Israel is the bad guy. But is it? Media is, in fact, sometimes careless, almost always ignorant, and very frequently acting in bad faith. Very, very frequently. And the effect is the same, to defame Israel. But is it working? I would say it is not working. So Jews all over the world are waking up, and so are our non-Jewish allies. You folks have already been awake and known about this for a long time, but many other of our friends and neighbors are waking up and seeing this in the face of what's obvious, obviously a battle of good and evil. People are seeing how Israel is being maligned and defamed and saying this is not right, and are waking up to the fake news and the bias in the media and the real viciousness of these international organizations and the non-governmental organizations. And of course, we have a friend in the highest of places, and this may be part of his plan to wake up the world. And frequently, as you know, the Jews are employed to wake up the world. And that brings me back to why I called this "Cause the Wind to Return and the Rain to Fall." The day of October 7th was Simchat Torah, which is when we start reading the Torah again. We read the Torah we read a portion of it every week, and every year we read the whole thing and start again. It's also that holiday is called Shmini Atzeret. And in the United States, it's two separate days, Simchat Torah and Shmini Atzeret. But in Israel, it's all on one day. And on Shmini Atzeret, we start to add one line to our prayer, our daily prayer, which is called the Amidah. And the line that we add, and we read that between Shmini Atzeret and Pesach, Passover, we add Mashiv HaRuach U'morid HaGasha, which is to cause the wind to return, to make the wind blow and the rain to fall. And this is very, very reminiscent of Psalm 11, verses 5 and 6, where, and I have the translation here, the Lord seeks out the righteous, and his soul hates the wicked who love Hamas. That the word in Hebrew, Hamas, is in the verse. And it's in Hebrew, it's Hashem tzadik yivchan v'rasha v'ohev Hamas san'a nafsho. The Lord seeks out the righteous, and his soul hates the wicked who love Hamas. Now, in Hebrew, the word Hamas means violence and injustice. That was already in the psalm. And then the next verse says, he will rain down upon the wicked blazing coals and sulfur. A scorching wind shall be their lot. Now, Hashem doesn't do anything by accident. So this tells me, this is to me a clear sign that we are in a biblical moment, that this is a very, very important time.
Thank you for listening to our FOI Equip podcast. Again, I want to remind you to go to foiequip.org and sign up to be on our mailing list. We'd love to see you at one of our free live online FOI Equip classes. Also, be sure to listen to our other podcasts, like the Jew and Gentile podcast, hosted by yours truly and Steve Herzig. Also, the Gesher podcast, hosted by Ty Perry. You can find out more ways to get involved with the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry by visiting foiequip.org. FOI Equip is an outreach of the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. We are a worldwide evangelical ministry proclaiming biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah, while bringing physical and spiritual comfort to the Jewish people. Hey, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you soon.